Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Tammy Neiman, wealth advisor here for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Dr. Macy P. Smith. We're really grateful to have her on the show today. Dr. Macy P. Smith is a gerontologist, licensed social worker with a doctorate from Nova Southeastern University in higher education leadership. She's been working with and caring for those living with dementia for more than 24 years. Macy has written a book called The Journey, A Dementia Caregiver Called to Action. Dr. Macy has not only written a book, but she is the founder of Diversified Training Consultant Group that works with the elderly for the past 24 years. While building her geriatric care management practice, Dr. Smith's grandmother was diagnosed with dementia, and it became a personal passion for her to help her patients and their families journey through this successfully. So welcome to the show, Dr. Smith. We're so grateful to have you on today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about the book that you wrote. Again, the book is The Journey, A Dementia Caregiver Called to Action. I can't wait to dive in. I have read about half of this book. And, you know, this is something that hits home for me as well. My grandma had dementia and Alzheimer's, and it was a very long journey, and we learned a lot along the way, but it would have been so nice to have some of this just in a concise book. And some of the bullet points that you have pulled out and I've mined is just amazing. So I understand. Tell me a little bit more, what prompted you to write the book?
Well, it's just what you said, Tammy. So many people have said to me, I wish I had this win. And when somebody has a wish, I try to grant it as much as I can.
And I love
so,
that.
You know, just working in the industry professionally and then being faced with it on a personal level, which looks totally different, by the way. I mean, I was dumbfounded when my grandma developed it. It was like a blow to the heart. And it's almost like the initial feeling is almost always denial. I don't care how prominent you are. I don't care how influential you are. I don't care how much money you have. Your heart feels the exact same thing. And so I wanted families to be better prepared than what families have been. Now, we were prepared, of course, because of the work that I had done and, you know, the work in the industry. So we had a me to help guide the process and got the family through the long-term care system. And I wanted families to have that as well. The service that I provide, a geriatric care manager, it is considered a premium service because traditional insurance and Medicare and third-party health carriers and payers don't pay for this service. Long-term care insurance pays for it, but who carries that anymore? And then those who have it, you know, you really have to dig into it and read the fine lines to see if it does cover it. And so writing this book was my way to appeal to the audience of dementia caregivers who don't have access to someone like me to help guide their journey, but to be able to offer them tangible resource in a concise, compact, relatable manner that they can actually do something with that day.
That is so needed and so, so appreciated. I mean, from so many families going through this, I think you're absolutely right. When you say denial, that's what we all feel when you get a diagnosis like this. So tell me, what is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
So dementia is the umbrella term because it covers so many different causes and so many different types. So dementia is the behaviors that you see, the symptoms that you experience, the forgetfulness, the memory loss, the confusion, the disorientation. That's dementia, but something has to cause it. Alzheimer's is the disease, the number one disease that causes dementia. The second most common cause of dementia is vascular disease. That's when someone has several mini strokes, causing vascular lesions to the brain, causing plaque buildup and tangles, which interrupts information flow. When those neurotransmitters can't do their job, then they die. And so that's when you see the atrophy in the brain. The third most common type of dementia is dementia with Lewy bodies. And the fourth most common type is frontotemporal dementia. There are also what we call treatable types of dementia that could be brought on by medications, by acute illnesses such as a urinary tract infection. And so it's important to know if your doctor does give you or your loved one a diagnosis of dementia, which is not the disease, you want to ask the doctor, what type of dementia is it and or what's causing it?
Oh, that's very helpful. Just to have those follow-up questions is so empowering. Oh,
it is. But when you think about it, so I'm from South Carolina, and I know it doesn't just happen in the South. So don't give me no shade, South Carolinians out there. But, you know, we were raised to think that all old people get a touch of dementia, which you can't have a touch of it. Right? But it's not a normal part of aging. Dementia is not a normal part of aging. Alzheimer's is not a normal part of aging. Now, we do forget things. And as we get older, our brain does shrink. We do have some loss in terms of forgetting, but that's due to not being able to remember because our neurons are firing off with a healthy brain and we always create new neurons. So that means we're learning new information. But we are going to forget things because our brain changes as we get older. Now, age is the number one risk factor to developing dementia, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get it. And so there are some not necessarily preventative factors, but brain strengthening strategies that we tend to put in place or tend to talk about just to ensure that people are not only caring for their body and their heart, but they're also caring for their brain because your brain is your being. If your brain is not functioning at full capacity, then it's going to affect your behaviors and your outward signs and your engagement.
So true. So tell me a little bit about how does this disease affect families? How have you been seeing it in your practice? What are some advice for families that are being impacted early on in the diagnosis? Maybe they've gotten out of that denial stage and they're ready to now look at it. How does it impact families?
Well, one of the biggest pieces, Tammy, is they don't know what to do next. They don't know what to do next. They don't know who to call and they don't know what to say. Primarily, families are going to go to the person's primary care doctor or their physician. That primary care doctor and or physician knows the clinical model, knows the medical model. And so they're going to provide assistance under that medical umbrella. But Alzheimer's is the only disease in the top progressive types of dementia that can't be prevented, cured, or even treated. And so when we talk about treatment, the treatment is for the symptoms. Dementia that we see. It's not for the disease. And so when there is no medical treatment, then we have to incorporate social aspects of the person's environment. And the doctor won't have that information. The doctor won't have those strategies, those tools and tips. And so that's when families need to know that there are people like me, like gerontologists, not geriatricians, but gerontologists, care managers and social workers who can help identify caregiver strategies in terms of how to cope with the condition, how to continue the new normal, because it's still normalcy, but it's a new normal, in order to reduce the stress levels for the person living with dementia, but also the caregiver. Another challenge is being able to pay for long-term services and supports. Many people don't realize that Medicare does not pay for non-medical in-home care until they need non-medical in-home care. And that is a sticker shock, Tammy. It is very depressing. It is heart-wrenching. It is deplorable, I will say, that in America, in one of the richest countries in the world, that I have to advise my families that their loved one basically has to go broke in order to afford Medicaid in order to pay for long-term services and supports. And so we have to get through all that understanding, a lot of the BS that happens in the long-term care system. And then now we have to look at what's available and how to get the services in place, and just really be creative, tapping into the Department on Aging. I always tell my families to connect with their local AAA, which is the Area Agency on Aging. They offer vouchers for respite, whereas they will actually send money to a home care company or someone, a family member or some sort, to pay that person to stay there with their loved one while the caregiver can go to work or can go shopping or just have some alone time and some me time. And that way their loved one is taken care of. They connect them to Meals on Wheels, also connecting them to senior centers, because senior centers are one of the most underutilized service in the aging industry that I've ever seen. And that's because of A, misconception about what they are, or two, just not knowing that they exist and that their loved one could qualify to go. And so the AAA, Area Agency on Aging, will connect families and seniors with those resources.
That's really helpful to have. Sometimes it's just the lack of knowledge
that
just disempowers people, and just where to find the resources can become so cumbersome. And to have somebody like yourself just to point out where those resources are, as well as that's one of those things we work with our clients for on a regular basis as well, right away, is let's talk about long-term care. We do have some long-term care planning that we like to do with our clients. And so that's one of those things, when you meet with us, we're going to put together a whole financial plan, and we will have a conversation about long-term care solutions, remedies. What does that kind of look like? You're right. It is a terribly expensive product, the long-term care insurance. But we start to have that right away at meeting number one with a lot of our clients, so that, you know, it's something that they can get used to. And maybe it's not a right fit now, but down the road, because we are always trying to solve for this going forward. So
I'm so happy that you do that too, because I think just really the terminology to long-term care, long-term services and supports. We got to continue to use those terms, but we also need to break it down. When we say it, we need to apply it to something that's realistic. When I say long-term care, and I always use an example, long-term care, for example, having someone to provide care for your mom when you're not there, bathing, dressing, dining, supervision, non-medical, because they'll hear the term, but they really don't understand what it means. And so I appreciate you all including that in your suite of services and being able to help families plan for that. I actually do send, I incorporate an elder attorney in my practice as well as a part of my group, because I have an extension of resources, because I can't do it all. I don't know everything, especially not what y'all do, Tammy, because money and numbers, not my forte. But again, that's linking my families to resources that can help them plan for that level of care. So I appreciate the work that you guys do as well.
Well, I think sometimes just getting around the conversation, because this is something that happens to other people. It doesn't happen to me. Right. And so
that's
when
right.
we do meet with our clients and we start talking about long-term care, the initial thought is that denial. That isn't going to happen to me.
Right.
It's going
to
happen to somebody else. So we'll bring a little infographic that just kind of talks about some of the statistics as it relates to how many people find themselves in a long-term care solution and are not prepared for it. So with that being said, we'll be back after a short break. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Tammy Niemann, wealth advisor here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. My guest today is Dr. Smith, and she is a gerontologist, licensed social worker in the field relating mostly to Alzheimer's and dementia. And again, she wrote a wonderful book called The Journey, A Dementia Caregiver's Called to Action. And it is a wealth of information. You want to put your hands on this. If you or a loved one is faced with this diagnosis, there are some really great resources within a very small book. Dr. Smith, what I like about this is it's under 50 pages, which makes it very easy for me to peruse through here in a quick read. And yet it's packed with so much information.
Yeah, not only you, but the idea behind the compact nature of the book and the short read is the average family caregiver is in the sandwich generation and they don't have time to read 10, 20 chapter books. They need to be able to get real-time information so that way they can act on it to be able to impact their life and their loved one's life. And so, and the real truth behind it is I can't sit down and write more than 60 pages anyway. I try my best.
That's all right. You know, it's a really good point. With limited resources and all the responsibility that's coming on a caregiver's plate, they're responsible for everything, yet have such limited resources. This book is so appreciated. So what can you give us a real high level idea? I know you've already given us some great tips in the last segment, but what are some resources out there to help families? Any additional resources that you'd like to highlight?
The Alzheimer's Association always, you can be connected to support groups in your area. They typically have regions and area offices near you, or it may be actually in your city. And so if you go to alz.org/ and you put in your state, then you could get connected to a leader in your area, a liaison, and also a support group. A support group is vitally important during this time of transition. And it is a time of transition because you're transitioning from the life you knew, the parent you knew, into a life of the unknown, the unexpected. They're still your parent, but their responses and their experiences and yours will look a little differently. So you want to be connected to support groups. Also, Lisa's Care Connection. Lisa's Care Connections, they have support groups online. And so they have different types of support groups. They have African American support groups. They have the millennial support groups, because believe it or not, our Gen Zs and our millennials, those numbers of caregivers are increasing as well. They have support groups for male caregivers. And so they have specialized support groups and they're virtual. So you can tap in from anywhere, because again, that support from someone who's going through what you're going through or who has been through what you're going through now is a help and a hope that you really can't find in any doctor's office. And so being able to connect to those resources are ideal. Also the NIA, the National Institutes on Aging, I like to send my clients over there to retrieve real-time information, tools and tips and strategies, very, very quick tips, bullet points. You can say it how you think it. If you go on NIA and you go in the search bar and you say, how do I get mom to stop wandering? Why is that repeating himself? And you'll have very easy to read, no jargon, statements and phrases and tips that you can take away and apply to that person's situation. Also, synergyhomecare.com/resources. That's where I have a host of written blogs, video blogs, also family guidebooks. Again, it's a family living with dementia. So I wrote a memory care guide. All that information is easily downloadable for free. And so it's not a lot of information, but it's, I like to say it's not an overwhelmingly amount of information. Every piece of information that you pull from these resources that I'm giving you is going to be applicable. It is going to be relatable. It is going to be easily digestible. You don't have to figure out what it is when I'm going to say what you want me to say. As soon as I open my mouth, you're going to get something that's going to apply. And also my YouTube channel, which is Just Ask Dr. Macy. I have quite a few videos. I record my trainings a lot. So I have a lot of training videos out there that could help as well.
It sounds like a lot of this information can be accessed right online.
It can be, but I like to tell people exactly where to go, because you go out there searching, you're going to be overwhelmed with the amount of information that comes across your search feed, because too much information is just as bad as not enough information. And so I like to tell families and advocates exactly where to go to pull the information that they need.
It's so helpful, because when you're dealing with a diagnosis like this and you're walking your family member through this, it's so important to be able to share the load with somebody else, to kind of journey with somebody else, because some of this, I'm imagining a lot of these families probably feel alone in this diagnosis.
And caregiving is an isolating experience. It is a lonely journey. And so to be able to connect people with other families who have experienced it is key to ensure that we try to reduce some of those isolating feelings and depressive symptoms, so that way they can be strong and healthy, more so than anything, to provide that level of care that their loved ones need.
That's amazing. I think we'll go into a little bit more about that right after our short break. We'll be back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Tammy Neiman, Wealth Advisor. My guest today is Dr. Macy Smith. She is the founder of Diversified Training Consultants Group, author of the book, The Journey, A Dementia Caregiver's Call to Action. And then we've been having a discussion today about Alzheimer's, dementia, and how it impacts the family and those caring for someone with that diagnosis. Well, let's pick up where we left off, Dr. Smith. What advice would you give to family caregivers?
So the very first thing I would say is to ensure that the person actually does have a progressive type of dementia before accepting a diagnosis of dementia, by asking the doctor what type of dementia it is, so that way you can research and connect with resources that align with the type of dementia the person has. If they have vascular dementia, then you want to connect to the association that manages vascular dementia. Dementia with Lewy bodies, the same thing. Also the Alzheimer's Association. So find out what type of dementia the person has. And then I would get with the family and have a family meeting to talk about the responsibilities that will eventually come, and map out a plan as to who will do what when it's time. You don't want to go to the extreme and start to restrict the person and take control over their life, because their condition does not warrant that yet. So you want to step in and provide the support the person needs when they need it, not before they need it, because they're still adults. They're still your parents. They still have their own life and they know it. And if you come in too early and try to restrict and take over and control, they're going to fight for their independence and they're going to fight for that control. And what that could potentially do is cause irreparable harm, because they may not want to take their medications. They may refuse to go to the doctor. They may refuse life things that they need to ensure they have the proper well-being and the best quality of life. And so you want to be sure to continue to partner in their care and respect their wishes and wants and desires, and work with them through the disease process, not take over and take control. And once you develop that plan with the family, then you want to execute that plan, knowing that it's going to be a very flexible and fluid plan. It could change at any given point in time. You want to make sure that they're as healthy as possible, because illness and injury will cause the disease to exacerbate. You want to be sure that they're staying hydrated and they're still eating a well-balanced diet, because lack of nutrition and dehydration can wreak havoc on a senior's body in general. But with dementia, it can cause it to go a lot faster, which means they're going to require more hands-on assistance, and their quality of life will be threatened earlier than if they were to have the healthiest outcome possible. And so those were, I would say, would be the key pieces of advice that I would give family members who are living with someone who they feel may be having some concerns with cognitive impairment. And of course, please pick up the book because it's going to guide you from beginning to end, literally through the disease and the caregiving journey.
Yeah, so good. That is such great advice. Because right there, I'm imagining as a family member gets this diagnosis, as I know, you know, our family had that diagnosis. Mm-hmm. The first thing you feel is fear. Just once you get through the denial, mm-hmm. then you're just fearful of the unknown, what it's going to look like. And when you feel fearful, you feel out of control. And of course, you're going to want to control everything you can. But to resist that and to give them the most amount of independence, I think that was a really brilliant point right there. And I think that will set people and families up for success down the road. So, and executing that plan as well, I'm sure there are lots of tools and strategies that you can, you know, maybe give us some advice on. What are some tools and strategies to help families implement or execute that plan or cope with the diagnosis?
You know, Tammy, sometimes, more times than not, there is some family dynamics that have to be considered. There is some friction.
Right.
If the oldest wants to develop the plan, then the youngest say, nope, she don't tell me what to do. She always trying to take control. And so there's resistance within the family dynamics. And so I tend to advise family to call in a third party, such as a geriatric care manager like myself, to develop that plan for them, to delineate the responsibilities and to identify persons responsible for each task. And that way, it won't be that one person bossing everybody around. It will be a professional coming in to say, hey, based on this assessment, Johnny, I think you need to manage the finances because you ain't got no patience. You know, Jimmy, you can do the day-to-day because you got a lot of patience and your mama seemed to like you very well. So it won't be viewed as a subjective situation where someone is pointing the finger and passing judgment. It will be a third party. And you can locate a geriatric care manager in your area by going to aginglifecare.org. And those resources are listed in the back of the book, A Dementia Caregiver Call to Action, the name of the organization, the website, and what that organization does. And so sometimes you need that third party in there to help not only develop the plan, but also to execute it, to monitor and to follow up.
That's a really great point. And you're right. In the back of the book, all of the resources that you have mentioned and the website you've called out are all listed in the back in a nice, concise few pages named resources. So that would be incredibly helpful. And you're right. I can imagine anytime you're working through the family, there's going to be those family dynamics as well as a diagnosis. You're kind of fighting the fire on both sides, so to speak.
Right,
so.
Right. And I say that's a great investment to invest in a geriatric care manager to help you develop a plan of care. And right. And I'll say too, families may already know what needs to happen, but because of, again, the dynamic, you know, nobody is receptive to it. But when that third party comes in and says it, it's like it's an affirmation that, you know, this really is it. And, you know, I should follow it because this is someone who's trained in that particular area. And so typically that tends to work out. Just like I recommend people to invest in a financial advisor to help with their long-term care planning, I also encourage people to invest in a certified elder attorney. To me, mm-hmm. those are three of the best investments you will ever spend when it comes to planning for caring for an older adult loved one or an adult with a disability. These are the three resources you just have to have.
Yeah, so true. And here at EIG, we will put you in contact with some attorneys that we work with, that we have experience with as well, that also can help with some elder care. You know, we've been talking a lot about the families and how it impacts them. But what about how can we help the person living with dementia cope?
Just be there.
Yeah.
And I always say meet them in their mind. Mm. Meet them in the moments in their mind. If they think that it is 1954, get on your phone and Google what was happening in 1954 and meet them there. The biggest thing you don't want to do is to force reality on them. It's not 1954, Ma. It is 2025. She don't know nothing about 2024. She knows in this moment is 1950 and she want to go to the juke joint. Whatever that, I just heard my grandmama say something like that. But you want to, I mean, as caregivers and as family members to someone who has dementia, we have to play several roles. For anybody who ever wanted to be an actor, now is your opportunity to see if you got the chops to do it. So play, you know, play the role that you've been given in that moment and meet them where they are in their mind and take them on that. They let, allow them to lead you on their journey. It's an adventure. And so when you allow them to lead, you have a much more positive outcome because they are concrete thinkers and they're going to respond to what you're given. If you're given anger, they're going to respond with anger. If you're given aggression, same thing. But if you're leading with love and compassion, that's what they're going to give you back. Because that's what they know.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's so vitally important to better understand that even though they're losing parts and pieces of their mind, they still have parts left. And no matter how that brain changes, the heart and the soul never does. So they can always feel you.
Yeah, I love that. Lead by love. With that, we're going to take a short break. But when we return, Dr. Macy Smith will share how we can get in touch with her if we're looking to get more information and where you can purchase her book, The Journey, A Dementia Caregiver's Call to Action. Another guest will also join us briefly to share local supplemental care options if we're caring for a loved one with dementia at home. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Tammy Neiman, Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. My guest today is Dr. Macy Smith, author of the book that we've been discussing, this radio show called The Journey, A Dementia Caregiver's Call to Action. You know, I really enjoyed this conversation. We've been having, you've given us so much information to work with, but where can people learn more about you?
Well, they can head over to my website, and that's www.drmacysmith.com. That's DrMacySmith.com. I'm also on social media, IG at Dr. Macy P, and on Facebook at Dr. Macy P. Smith.
Awesome. And where can they purchase this book? Again, this book is just amazing. It's packed with under 50 pages, packed with so much information and a whole resource section at the back. Where can they purchase this book?
The book is available on Amazon and also Barnes and Noble. On Amazon, it's also available in the Kindle edition. And so if you want a downloadable version that's always at your fingertips on your phone or your iPad, that's a great place to download that as well.
All right, great. And again, the name of the book, if you're going into Google and you want to, or I'm sorry, you're going into Amazon and you want to find the book, again, the book is The Journey, A Dementia Caregiver Called to Action. And how can we keep in contact with you? You've been so helpful with so much information. I know this is going to impact a lot of families that are listening right now.
Well, I look forward to hearing from you all of your listeners. My email is info@bookdrmacy.com. And I also respond to my DMs and my instant messengers on IG and Facebook. So feel free to reach out to me on any of those mediums. And I look forward to chatting with you.
And again, your YouTube channel was Just Ask Dr. Macy,
Just
M-A-C-I-E,
Macy.
Correct?
Yes. That's right.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Macy, for joining us today. You really opened our eyes and given great advice for everyone who cares for someone with dementia. So thank you. Now, I'd like to introduce my next guest, Jenny Wagner, co-owner and elder care consultant at Vesta Senior Network. Jenny, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Would you please tell us a little bit about yourself, what got you into this line of work, and just share briefly a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, thank you, Tammy. Thanks for introducing me. Yes, I'm Jenny Wagner and one of the co-owners of Vesta Senior Network. And like she said, we are elder care consultants, and the bulk of what we do is helping families find the best assisted living or memory care assisted living for their loved ones.
Oh, that's so needed right now. Can you share some resources and local care options available to assist families who are caring for a loved one at home that has a dementia diagnosis?
Certainly. I think that's a super important part of, you know, beyond just finding assisted living, we're frequently asked by families for these types of resources. And so I would love to share with you a number one resource I would point out is the Alzheimer's Association. Mm. Through our work with our client families and our own personal experiences with our journeys with dementia and Alzheimer's in our own families, we've come to understand what a fantastic resource they can provide or be to families and be so supportive of caregivers. We've become one of their largest fundraisers for their longest day fundraiser, and Pam and I are both volunteer educators for the Alzheimer's Association of Southeast Wisconsin.
Nice.
Their resources, though, that family caregivers can tap into most easily are their website and their 24-hour helpline. The website is alz.org, super simple, alz.org, and there you can find support groups, understanding of education that's out there in the community that you can actually go to, or things you can read on the website, so when you run into a new part of your journey, what do I do now, that website is right there for you. Also, just the other community events that can be fun to enjoy with your loved one.
Right.
Memory cafes, painting parties, things that are out there that you as a caregiver can then be out in the world, bring your loved one who is suffering with dementia, and they can have experiences where they're with people like themselves, which is super invaluable.
Yeah.
You don't know it until you experience it, but it can be so helpful. And then their helpline is 1-800-272-3900. I'll repeat that.
Yeah.
800-272-3900. It's a 24/7 helpline offered by the Alzheimer's Association. As a caregiver at home, like I said, you could run into something new and be like, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
You can call somebody and they can help you.
That's so nice.
And sometimes it's in the middle of the night. All the weird stuff that happens doesn't happen at a convenient time. So having somebody that you can reach out to is so invaluable, and the Alzheimer's Association knows that. So that's the number one resource, I would say.
Okay.
Beyond that, my biggest message to family caregivers, because I work with families all the time, every day, 5 days a week, every day, all day, looking for assisted living, talking about problems and what we do next in terms of long-term care. And my biggest message would be, you are not a superhero.
Oh, that's good. Say that again.
You are not a superhero. Families get so burdened by realizing how much their loved one needs them 24/7 that then they want to, those responsibilities become very stressful, and they don't give enough time to themselves for their own mental health and well-being. And I frequently see people putting their own health, you know, in a place where it could be compromised due to their caregiving responsibilities.
Sure.
And it can get scary. So take breaks, give yourself a break, and these are three resources that could be helpful. One of them is adult day, and that means like adult daycare, just what it sounds like, and that can empower families to care for their loved one much of the time at home, but then when they need to go to work, or they need to go run errands, or just have a downtime, they can do that, and their loved one can be in a place where there's activities, there's lunch, there's people like them, again, people who have cognitive deficits or are having failing memory, so that they can have that time with them. And it's economical. It runs from about $65 to $85 a day, and is just a great way to bridge the gap. Another resource would be respite stays, where you have your loved ones stay at an assisted living memory care while maybe you're out of town for a family wedding, or maybe you need a vacation or just time off. It's a little bit harder to put together. It requires a lot of planning, especially when we're dealing with dementia, but it can be done. I've seen it on a case-by-case situation be very successful. The cost is usually around $250 per day, but that's something that, again, at Vesta, we can help you with. Finding it sometimes is dependent on availability in said assisted living memory care, and you certainly want a good quality place to care for your loved one. And then last, a very big piece of advice I always give families is if you're caring for a loved one at home, create a relationship with a good in-home care agency. And it may sound strange coming from me because I'm a person who helps people move their loved one into assisted living, which is more of a permanent setup.
Right.
But when you're caring for your loved one at home, like I said before, you need breaks. And having an agency that you now know well, and they know you and your loved one and how things should work, that's a super invaluable setup. And they now you have a relationship and a commitment to each other, and they're going to help you as much as they can. The cost for in-home care, and that's personal, non-medical in-home care, is between $35 to $40, maybe even sometimes $45 an hour. And they do ask for minimums. So for a visit, it's going to be at least 2 hours or maybe even at least 3 hours. And some places will even ask for minimums per week. So we need, say, three times a week at two-hour chunks, things like that. So it can be a commitment on your end, but once you have that relationship, it's like having, not to compare it to children, but when you have a very good babysitter that you trust and you feel good about, that you can leave the house and you know that your loved one's getting good care, feels comfortable, and is safe and supervised.
Oh, that's priceless.
When we get to that part of dementia, that is priceless. So those would be the big ones. And if anyone would like to contact us at Vesta for help with that, VestaSeniorNetwork.com is our website. We'd love to be a resource, you know, in terms of finding those things.
Tell me a little bit more about Vesta and how you could help a family.
A lot of what we do, like I said, is finding assisted living or memory care when it becomes too much at home. But that said, we are constantly helping our families with every part of aging, just resources or being a friend on the phone, navigating through the healthcare part of long-term care. Sometimes, a lot of times with prior clients, we've helped them move maybe their dad into assisted living. And then they call us, "Mom's in the hospital. I don't remember how this works, but I think I'm going to have to choose a rehab." You know, and a lot of it is just maybe a reminder, or they've heard it from the social worker, and so we're just kind of helping them through it. But it's having a friend on the phone, honestly, a relationship type part of it, where we can be helpful in terms of, let's put a good plan together. Let's do something that's going to work for your family. But yeah, we help with all aspects. Realtors, senior movers, elder law attorneys, we can refer people to resources that can be helpful.
Wow, that sounds amazing. And just priceless information to have when you need it, for sure. So thank you, Jenny, for all that great information. We're running out of time, but can you quickly share some contact information once again for our listeners to connect with you?
Sure. The best way to connect with us at Vesta Senior Network is our website, VestaSeniorNetwork.com. And there are certainly contact us forms and phone numbers there for your ease. But rather than rattling off phone numbers here on a radio show, I just thought the website would be best.
Absolutely. So that's Vesta, spelled V-E-S-T-A.
Yep. V-E-S-T-A, SeniorNetwork.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Pause. 3, 2, 1. Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com or call us at 262-3200. As always, I hope that I have made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Pause. Done.
Were okay. we too fast or too... Were we short or long?
I think we went for 9 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
Which is perfect. But before
I really
we get up, I'm going to...
back.
I think you did good. For a minute there, I thought we were going to go under. So I'm going to have Ashley come in here and confirm that the time is good.
Yeah, and I can. We can always record a certain segment of it if she wants it redone.
Was it okay how I just kind of played in and asked for that a little extra?
I loved it because I was like, shit, am I going too long or too slow?
No, you were going, and I should have probably, it would have been helpful if I would have had, like, what we need in here is like maybe a little timer so we can look, because otherwise you get nervous not knowing
Cause I'm like,
how long I got to stretch it for, or, yeah.
But
let me go grab Ashley and make sure that
I figured I'll just follow your body language, like you would go, or...
No, we are perfect. Give me 1 second. I'm going to find... There she is.
Here I am.
Can you just confirm that we went long enough? Because there's no fixing it if we didn't.